Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, welcome, welcome on this lovely Sunday morning with myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam Medium Wave 1548, on the lovely program of the globe trotting, which we all desire to do all the time in our life. We have that desire wherever, when it comes to trotting around the world, nobody can say, I don't want that. It's something which we all would love to have. And alhamdulillah, we try to talk about different countries. This week I felt so pleasant when I had a listener who called me, wanted to go to a destination, wanted some advice on a destination, and mentioned to me something which I never thought. Oh, well, I had lots of other listeners in between that tells me that they go to certain destinations. But a while ago, last year sometime, we had spoken about Uruguay. And this particular listener mentioned to me this week that you spoke about Uruguay and you inspired us to go to Uruguay. And I said, Uruguay, out of all places? Yes, we spoke about it, but alhamdulillah. And they went to Uruguay and they said, what a lovely place to go to. Like that, there's been many others who went to lots of different destinations. Now, many will identify, when it comes to talking on the globe-trotting program and when you hear Muhammad Lambat, many people identify me, for whatever reason it may be, probably for my own, should I say wrongdoing? No. For my own doings where we talk about Vietnam, and people identify the program with Vietnam. That is why I've been getting umpteen calls for listeners wanting to go to Vietnam this year. And alhamdulillah, there are so many people going, and currently there are so many we are assisting with visas also. If anybody would like to get visas for Vietnam also, and if it's a bit of a difficult issue where it's inconvenient, whatever, let me know. We do have a connection. We don't have to wait 5 to 7 days for visas. We've got a very quick turnaround time. So if you want me to assist you, not a problem. You contact me, I will gladly assist you in getting your visa. So this year in particular, we've been talking about Vietnam for many, many years now, because we love Vietnam. And for that reason, shukr alhamdulillah, people have now caught on to Vietnam and come back, and by word of mouth, we're getting hundreds of families. This year, I'm telling you, hundreds of families going to Vietnam. And with that, my advice is, when anybody's going, I found so many itineraries which I've been working on and assisting listeners. People go into Hanoi, they fly in from Johannesburg via Hong Kong, if on Cathay Pacific, they go into Hanoi, and they fly out of Hanoi again. My advice is, if you're booking your tickets, before you book your tickets, make sure you work out your itinerary, you fly in from one city, simply because Vietnam is an elongated S. You have your major city up north, one of them, which is Hanoi, the other city which is down south, which is Ho Chi Minh City, Saigon. So my advice is, fly into one city, which is either Hanoi or Ho Chi Minh City, Saigon, and fly out of the other. It makes it easier. What happens is, when you're flying out, you need not go back to your primary destination and then fly out from that city again. All you have to do is fly into, for example, Hanoi. You come, you travel down south by internal flights or by bus or by taxi, whatever it is. Visit as you're going city to city along the coast. You come to the bottom, you come to Saigon. And from Saigon, you then fly out of the country. So you are saving the time of going from Hanoi to Saigon, or Saigon to Hanoi, when you're departing from the country. It saves you that good few 6 to 8 hours, because you got to get back to the airport early, the first airport. You got to be in time for your second airport and then fly out. Save your time. I found this week alone, I had 13 people that did the wrong thing. It's not wrong, but did the thing which I would find wrong on my side. That do it where you convenience yourself and not lose time, not lose that 6 hours. In that 6 hours in Saigon, you can do much more when you're there. So it makes a big difference. So when you're doing that also, please book carefully. Check carefully before you do all that. And alhamdulillah, we find that there's quite a few halal places which are now coming up also in Vietnam, and around the world also we find lots of halal places. So shukr alhamdulillah, things are happening now. We are coming towards holiday season. We're going to have to check our programming for the holiday season and see. We're trying to do our best to cover up countries which lots of people are now asking about. For example, this past week and a half or so, even Turkey has been on the agenda for many, many people. So we're looking at Turkey. I want to see if we can do another program. We had one program, but I want to do an in-depth program on Turkey again, when it comes to the foods also, when it comes to all the different places that you go to. I am looking into that also, just to help people. Let's see what we can do with that front. And then weather-wise, we are having a heat wave at the moment, so please keep the children hydrated, keep yourself hydrated also, because that is of utmost importance. Just make sure that you are hydrated. Because of all this heat, we make dua to the Almighty Allah. Ya Allah, we need the rains also. Please send sufficient rains for us and send beneficial rains. That's what we ask for. You know, we've had some rains, we've had some bad hails also out in the Bloemfontein Free State area. But Allah, make it easy and give us beneficial rains. That's what we ask for. Now, when it comes to halal travel, there's been, and currently, there's an awareness of halal travel worldwide. Wherever you go, halal travel has become almost top on the agenda, simply because there are Muslims around the world who's going to different countries, and the first thing any Muslim, be whatever the Muslim may be, but any Muslim would go to any destination, and the first thing they would ask for is halal. And that has opened the eyes of the world to say that that is what we have to do. We have to create halal foods. We have to have halal foods for the Muslim nation around the world. And we find, especially in the Far East, in the Middle East, that awareness is now taking, it's now building up also. Then you get Europe also there that's looking into halal. Australia very much so. This week I read something in Australia also. They're looking at halal now. They're looking at bringing on halal and getting all these halal foods and so on. Now there's been one organization who's been very, very active in working towards halal foods, working towards halal, a halal destination or a halal trip around the world. Many countries, in fact, their country list is growing day by day. They go out to the country and they inspect and check and make sure that there is halal being offered for the Muslims, and then they so-called certify in their own way to say that place is quite sufficient for halal. Obviously, we got to take care of ourselves. And the organizer and the founder of the company is none other than Faisal Bahadin. He hails from Singapore. The organization is also in Singapore. And Faisal Bahadin has been really, really, really active in getting this whole halal travel sorted out. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Faisal. Shukran for joining us on this, our Sunday morning, your Sunday afternoon, talking to us about your halal travel.
Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam, Brother Muhammad. It's a pleasure to be with on the program again.
Thank you very much. Shukran for joining us. I know you're a busy man. We worked on this appointment and you've given us this time to talk to you, alhamdulillah, and I really, really appreciate that we talk about this halal things. We talk about things which is close to every Muslim's heart. We make it's something which we have to do all the time. And sure. For this also, Allah blesses us. Now, first of all, you're based in Singapore. Your organization is called Crescent Rating.
Right. So basically, we have
Brother Faisal.
Yeah. Can you hear me? Yeah. Yeah. We have actually two or three brands.
I can hear you.
Yeah. So we have Crescent Rating, which we have been working for the the last 7 to 8 years. On trying to educate the destinations, get them aware of the Muslim travelers, get them to prepare services and facilities so that they can cater to Muslim travelers. So that's, and then of course, as you mentioned, we have our own, not really a certification system, but a rating system, to rate on the level of Muslim friendliness of services and facilities that the destinations offer. Then of course, we have our consumer brand, which is like, what we are trying to do, something like a TripAdvisor for Muslims, which we call halaltrip.com, both as a website as well as app, mobile apps, both on iOS and Android devices. So I think as you mentioned, the last 2 years, we have seen a huge interest among the destinations to start looking at the Muslim travelers seriously. I mean, since we started 7-8 years ago, there have been a lot of destinations looking at it, but especially the last 2 to 2.5 years, there has been an increased interest in trying to understand what Muslims are, what are they looking for when they travel, and trying to cater to them.
Now, what prompted you to get into this field or this segment? What prompted you, say 8 years ago, what prompted you to get involved in this?
Well, yeah, I was in the corporate world for almost 19, 20 years, and that meant that I used to do a lot of travel myself, and realized that, as a Muslim traveler, the hospitality travel industry really didn't understand much about the Muslim traveler, their needs, This was, you know, talking about 2007 and around that time, 2005, 2006, 2007. And, you know, so I, you know, wanted to try and solve my problem as well as see if we can, you know, solve other Muslims' problems. So that's how we got started on, you know, the idea of wanting to rate hotels. That's how I got started with Crescent Rating. Alhamdulillah, we do a lot more than rating hotels these days. So, yeah, so it was about, you know, my own experience and my own, you know, pain points that I wanted to try and resolve.
So that was your total inspiration of starting this whole organization from then. And you started it solo when you say 8 years ago you started it solo?
Yes, I did. Of course, we have grown, alhamdulillah, and we have a big team now. Yes, that's right.
Alhamdulillah. And when you say halal travel, now you want to detail what is halal travel in the way you determine halal travel specifically?
Yeah, you know, what we try to do is unfortunately we sometimes have to use the word halal travel, but because that's what the media understands and all that. But in reality, what we try to do is to make it easier for Muslims to explore any part of the world. I mean, that's the mission that we have. We want to make it easier for Muslims to travel to any part of the world without worry and explore the places. So, you know, as you said, there are, you know, depending on the on number of things, the requirement of Muslims from a faith-based needs differ. But there are certain things that are, no matter where your level of faith is, you still 98-99% of the Muslims anyway will not compromise on, which is like halal food. Halal food is probably the most important thing. So what, you know, I mean, you know, is the whole Muslim market, can it be considered as a halal travel market? I sort of tell them sort of yes, because at least there are one or two requirements irrespective of the level of the faith. You know, they mostly, you know, vast majority of them will not compromise. If that is supposed to be called halal travel, I'm fine with it. But at the end of the day, it's for us, it's about making it easier when it comes to Muslims when they travel, in terms of food and in terms of salat places, you know, whether, you know, you know, educate the industry on, you know, if you want them to spend, you know, like 8 hours in a shopping mall, you know, you have to have a place to pray in the shopping mall. Otherwise, it's really difficult for Muslims to spend 8 hours in a shopping mall or 6-7 hours in the shopping mall. So yes, you need to make it easier for them to access to prayer facilities. So we look at those kind of things, and also we try to educate them on the need for, you know, having toilets and washrooms which are Muslim or water friendly. And alhamdulillah, you know, a lot of destinations are seriously looking at implementing these things. I mean, I was a few months ago, I was in Japan, in the center of the in city in Tokyo, and I was really surprised to see that there was a prayer room in one of the biggest shopping malls in the middle of Tokyo. I think things, alhamdulillah, at the end of the day, you know, most destinations want to realize that Muslim travelers are a growing segment, and there are at least some basic requirements that they need to enable them so that they will visit them.
And as we're reading from day to day, we're reading in the press, you find that there are lots of destinations which are now allowing halal and are recognizing, you know, prior to 9/11, it was hardly heard of. And thereafter, we found, as we're going along, airports are now allowing for Muslim prayer facilities. You're finding halal consciousness around the world, which is growing at a remarkable pace. And we look at South Africa ourselves. We find the shopping centers, all these big shopping centers that are being built, shopping centers that were in existence from those years. Today we have almost everyone having salah facilities. It may be anywhere. Lots of them are having them in the car park area. They specify 2 rooms, one for female, one for male, and they have salah facilities irrespective of where it may be, but they still have that awareness and they give us that salah facilities. It makes such a great difference for us. And I find, just being in South Africa having that, around the world we find more and more happening so. And also when you come to halal, so it makes such a great difference. And I think your organization, you go out and you also, you ask people to do that?
Yeah, so basically we have for hotels, we have our own rating system that we rate hotels. You know, we are also trying to now, you know, rating restaurants. Yes, so we use a network of auditors around the world to help us with auditing those facilities and services. And also we have, you know, through the mobile application, the Halal Trip mobile application, we get, alhamdulillah, a lot of users themselves uploading, you know, salah places, you know, halal restaurants around the world. So I think it's, yeah, it's we do it ourselves, and we get also a lot of input from users as well. And then, of course, the destinations themselves are pretty active as well. I was in Australia about 2-3 months ago, and I was in a shopping mall in, I think, in somewhere around Gold Coast, and I went to their information board. You know, yes, where they have you know, written where, you know, all the restaurants and all that, and wherever there was a halal restaurant, they had marked that those restaurants were halal, you know. So which is, you know, few years ago, that probably was you know, was they didn't probably have that awareness too. And in fact, that particular shopping mall even had a prayer room. So I went to the information counter and asked, you know, I know that there is a prayer room here. Then they said, yes, there is a prayer room. They were very nice to me, and, you know, they gave me the keys and said, you know, you take this key and go here, and then there is the prayer room. So yeah, and I think, you know, we actually worked with the Australian Tourism Board actually to do the Muslim Visitor Guide, which we published it last year. We published the Muslim Visitor Guide for Philippines tourism, I think sometime early this year. And we are also in the process of doing similar projects for a few other tourism boards as well. So yes, I think, alhamdulillah, it's getting easier and easier for Muslims to now travel.
Exactly. And you know what I love of the Far East, you know, more besides the Far East, be it Cambodia, you have Thailand also, the toilet facilities you have in every toilet, alhamdulillah, they do have water facilities in the toilet already. And I was surprised to note that these things they've come like, which in a country like that you wouldn't expect to have water facilities, but it looks like 90% of the shopping centers, wherever you go, even the public toilets in those countries, you would find that they have either a shower or they have a tap in the toilet for usage with a jug, whatever it may be. And that is common. Have you found that in the Far East to be very easy?
Yes, I think it's getting more and more available in this part of the world as well. I mean, I mean in general, in Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, you don't have such an issue. Almost all public toilets or hotel toilets will have generally will have a water, you know, either a hand shower, a bidet or something like that. Then if you go across to Japan, you know, Japan has their own Japanese toilets which are very water friendly, of course, you know.
Yes.
The special Japanese toilets. And now what's happening in some countries, especially in Taiwan and Korea, you are beginning to see these kind of Japanese toilets being installed in hotels in Taiwan and Korea. Yeah, I think in general that is also something which is getting a little bit more awareness, and hotels and, yes, public places are, you know, adapting to that as well now. Yeah.
All right. We're already up on news time, Brother Fikal. What I'll do is about 8 minutes past 10, we'll call you back again and let's continue with this discussion. It's very interesting. We need to give details to our listeners. I've got one SMS already that's come in and asking for details on your company. So what we'll do is, after the news, we'll continue and then we'll give details, and also if there's any input from people, we'll ask them to give you any input on your website also. But we'll continue right after the news. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam Medium Wave 1548 on the Globetrotting program on this lovely Sunday morning on the 30th of October 2016. And we're having our year end already. This year has just flown past. People, I just cannot, I, you know, it's, I would say it's the, probably the signs of Qiyamah. The way this year has flown by, we're already at the end of October, people are preparing for their exams, and all those that are writing exams also, the matriculants have started. We wish each one of you luck, inshallah. Make your zikr, make your du'as, and get into the exam room. Allah will make it easy for you, inshallah. And write your exams, put your head up high, do what you have to do, do what is right, and continue, inshallah. Allah will make it easy for you. All those others that are, or the other students that are, or learners that are writing exams also, We got to be careful of our terms now. We can't say students anymore. We got to say learners. So anyway, all those other learners for the lower grades also who's writing the exams, good luck to all of you also, inshallah. Allah make it easy. Just study and don't let your parents scream at you that you have to study because it's something that you have to do. Come 20 years down the line or 15 years down the line, if you didn't study, you will regret that why didn't I study? I should have just spent that few hours or that 1-2 years also study and get, you know, do something, qualify in something. The world is going in that direction. Allah make it easy for one and all, inshallah. Now, we do have Brother Faisal Bahadin who is from a company called Crescent Rating, and it's an amazing journey which he undertook about 8 years ago from experience. And that also, on our side also, when we started the travel program, it was out of experience and our personal experiences, and that's why we started the travel program. Likewise, it's the passion of people, it's passion of somebody who wants to do something for other people. And alhamdulillah, as we heard, Brother Faisal started this 8 years ago through his own passion and desires of wanting to help other people. And Brother Faisal, shukran for holding on for us and talking to us about Crescent Rating. And you started an organization at the time, and alhamdulillah, you've grown from strength to strength, and inshallah Allah give you that to grow even further with more strength, inshallah, and do more for the Muslim Ummah, because that's what you're doing at the moment. And for everyone going out there and experiencing a Muslim holiday will change your life, inshallah, for the better in the eyes of Allah, inshallah. We make special dua for you, inshallah, for that.
I mean, yeah. Thank you very much. Alhamdulillah. It has been a great journey because, you know, the Muslims are beginning to travel, you know. It's one of the fastest growing travel segments in the world now. And that helps, I think, you know, that helps to make our work easier as well, because Muslims are traveling and the destinations want to really understand what and businesses want to understand what Muslims really what makes it easier for Muslims to come to that place.
Exactly. You know, I look at it on our side also. We try our utmost best to help. Just I always mention this, that even if we can help one person in one program, I think we prepare ourselves for the better, inshallah. Because the thing is, people go out there, they are almost lost. I've seen from the time I used to travel in the early 90s also, it was so difficult when it came to halal food, when it came to all these Muslim issues. And for us just to assist somebody and say, listen, you can do this because of our experiences, you can do the halal way, you can go eat halal, that makes us comfortable. I can imagine on your side having it as a fully blown organization, you might be sleeping so comfortable thinking that, ya Allah, I've helped another Muslim around the world, anywhere else it is and wherever it may be, and it makes you feel so great and comfortable for just doing that. So with your developments that's taking place also, all the different countries, do you choose specific countries or do you get recommendations to go to certain countries to do halal checkups and so on?
So basically we have a number of things that we do on halal trip as well as on Crescent Rating. So Crescent Rating, we do, you know, we have our main report that we release every year in March, which is called the Muslim Global Muslim Travel Index, where we this year we ranked 130 countries on 11 criteria and ranked them on the level of Muslim friendliness. So that's the annual report that we do. Last year we had 100 countries, this year we have 130 countries, and hopefully inshallah we'll continue to increase the number of countries we look at next year. So that's when we look at, you know, from a Crescent Ratings point of view. But from a halal trip point of view, for consumers, we sort of you know, look at where Muslims are really wanting to travel, where it's difficult to travel as well. So we have, I think some time ago, almost 12 months ago, we are now able to cater to almost 65 cities in 35 countries that we have packages for. What we are also seeing is that more and more, especially younger Muslim professionals, are also looking for a different experience. You know, not just a general holiday. You know, go and see some attractions and shopping and beach. But they're also looking at, you know, more personal development experiences, more local, authentic local experiences. So that's another area that we are looking at developing. So we actually launched two programs along those lines. One is we launched a 7-day retreat in Sri Lanka, happening starting on the 19th of November. We partnered with Muhammad Faris, who is the CEO and the founder of a platform called ProductiveMuslim.com. So with him, we launched this program. It's a seven-day retreat where you're going to have your normal fun part of, you know, traveling and sightseeing and all that. But every day, you know, about 3 to 4 hours are dedicated with Muhammad Faris on developing your, you know, personal development and how to live a productive Muslim life. So that kind of programs, I think, will spend a little bit more time in developing with other experts in the area, so that it's not just a holiday, but it's also a personal development thing.
What I find lots of people want is, like you're offering now, what they want is, they want a specific group or a guide in the halal direction. That, listen, we want to go to certain country. I get offered by I get calls umpteen times where people tell me, why don't you take a group of Muslims from South Africa to whichever country it is? We talk often of Vietnam, so they talk about Vietnam. Why don't you take a group of Muslims to Vietnam, since you know Vietnam? Take a group from here. It will make us more easy and more comfortable. Likewise, what you're talking of also is that you're going to Sri Lanka, you're partnering with somebody from there, and people look for that. They don't want to do things on their own. Yeah. They want that comfort to say, when we go there, everything is set out for us. That's what we want. And I think that's exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, so I think, yeah. And also they're looking for, you know, some specific theme. And you know, you saying that on Vietnam, inshallah, we should look at how we can work together on that one. But, So with Muhammad Faris, because he actually wrote a book recently also, which is about how to live a productive Muslim life. So he's very much focused on, you know, living a productive life from with Islamic values. So we got, alhamdulillah, very good traction on that. We still have some places to fill, inshallah. We hope to fill them in the next few days. We also launched another such a local experience tour with a chef in Singapore, and we, inshallah, if that works, we'll try and replicate in other countries. So this chef is a celebrity chef, Muslim chef, it's a 3-day 2-night package where the visitors will enjoy halal Muslim cuisine in Singapore with a chef. You know, it will have a half a day session of how to cook as well. So I think that's also a big trend now, just not about, you know, shopping and seeing attractions, but really understand and immerse themselves in the local experiences.
Exactly. That's what I find happening more often than not now, where people are not only wanting to go to certain destinations for shopping, because I think they've now reached the ceiling level of the shopping part of it. People are looking for experiences. I find many people asking me for adrenaline sports, others asking me, for example, scuba diving, where this week again on Tuesday also somebody called me, asked me which are the best destinations for scuba diving, you know, things like that. Now people want to do things which is beyond what people used to do before. True. And we got to look at that. Now if you're looking at those things, with that also, we still got to consider, and one thing I always mention on this program, and we mention it time and time again, when you leave your country, wherever you're going to, when you leave your country, take your Islam with you. So be it for scuba diving or be it for shopping, take your Islam with you. And that's where you fit in also. When you go wherever it is, make sure you have your halal, make sure you be a Muslim there first, and then do the rest of it. That's our motto, I would say.
Absolutely. I think, you know, the thing is that it also makes our work difficult when, I mean, of course we'll continue to do our work, but difficult when you travel as a Muslim and then sort of don't take care of what your, you know, general stuff, you know, you don't ask them about halal food availability, you don't ask them about the availability of prayer facilities. That makes it a little bit difficult, because when you talk to those businesses or services, they say, you know, we had a Muslim group, you know, last week, but they never told, they never were worried about this. So why do you think we should have these services and facilities? So when you travel like that, you don't realize it impacts others, even if you're sort of not so concerned about them.
Exactly, and that's what you're saying. If unanimously all Muslims go to a certain place or a certain destination or a certain town, whatever it may be, and all Muslims request for the same thing, unanimously, ask for the same thing. That will make a difference, and that makes your task also easier, I would say, because that particular company or that particular city would, or if you're probably dealing with the governments or the authorities of that city, and they would say, yes, we are aware of this because there are so many people requesting for it, so please can you assist us and go forward. Now, in saying that, I would like to know, when you go to these different countries, do you approach, are you government level, or you go to the city information centers and so on, and then start working it from there, or how do you operate?
So we do different types. We work with a lot of governments as well directly, like the work that we did for Philippines Government Tourism Board. It was a project with the Philippines Tourism Board was very keen on understanding and developing services. We have worked with, as I said, the Muslim Visitor Guide, with the Tourism Australia. We are working, so it depends. So some places we directly work with tourism organizations or even city governments. In some places, like for instance in Japan, we have done a number of projects with city governments in Japan. Of course, we also directly reach out and deal with the hotel groups or restaurant chains. We try and reach out and work with whoever is interested to look at this segment.
Yes, that's very, very important. And reaching government level and going out and letting it filter down into society, that makes a bigger difference, I presume. And that will make it much easier for the general Muslim population that's going to that place, because there's an awareness when they're creating their marketing, I would say. They would obviously include the Muslim sector, because it's now that level where they have to include it, and that's where you come in. Now, to market yourself, what criteria do you use, or what do you use, what platforms do you use to market your company, and also to market the way you create the halal environment in the different parts of the world?
So in Crescent Rating, which is basically our clients, our customers that we deal with, our governments and businesses and organizations, so we try and reach out directly to them. Or more and more also, we have businesses who are beginning to understand the importance of the market, and then they reach out to us because they know the services that we offer. That's on the, let's say, business to business kind of thing on Crescent Rating. On Halal Trip is, we try to, that's our consumer part of our story. Whatever we do on Crescent Rating is reflected through all the information and guides and databases that we publish on Halal Trip. So that's a bit of a challenge, because still there is a not there is still a huge amount of awareness among the Muslims needs to be made, because not still the Muslims, I think there is a huge amount of Muslims who are traveling are still probably not really aware of the more halal friendly choices that they can have in almost many destinations now. So that's probably our biggest challenge, to make the Muslim travelers realize that you really don't have to compromise on many things now. You have choices that you can make, and there are websites like ours, Halal Trip, which can provide you that kind of information.
Okay, so what's the website addresses for both of them then?
So one is halaltrip.com, that's what for consumers, halaltrip.com. Halal Trip in one word, and then you have halaltrip.com, and you can download our applications as well on iOS and for iPad, iPhone and Android devices. We also have, I think, I know some of the South Africans use it as well. Many around the world, pilots use it. We have on the app, we have probably the only feature available in the for users now to calculate prayer times for your flights. So if you're leaving Durban and arriving in London, it will tell you, your prayer times on the flight, yes.
Oh, okay. That's very interesting also. That's very interesting. And yes, if anybody want to contact you, ask you about any halal, you've got links on your websites?
Yes, all the links are there. Yes, absolutely. Or you can drop me. I'm on Twitter as well, Fazal Bahadin. That's my Twitter handle. If somebody sends me a message, I definitely will answer.
Okay, that's great. Our SMS line 072-786-5520, 072-786-5520. If there's any questions that you would like to ask, and if you can't get hold of, or if you can't write down the details now of Brother Faisal, you may contact me. I'll pass on the details to you, whoever it may be. And it's very interesting to go on this website and just have a look and see how interesting it is for all the halal places where you'll find. And you also mentioned on your website you do have halal places in different countries that you suggest that people go to, that you've checked out already?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, there are places which we have checked out, and also there are places which are uploaded by our users. So you know, we, you know, in different countries. So of course we try and do our due diligence on those ones, but there are many which has been uploaded by Muslim travelers as well.
Okay, so that's personal experiences, and that also makes a difference in
Alhamdulillah.
JazakAllah for joining us on the Sunday morning. There's not, you know, with the short time that we have, whenever I mention to any of my guests that we're going to be talking for about 40 minutes, and when they say 40 minutes, what are we going to say in 40 minutes? But believe me, in this 40 minutes, I don't think you can say half of what you wanted to say, because time just flies past us. There were some other questions that I wanted to ask you also, but we're already out of time. We'll have to make some other time, some another day also, inshallah, talk about it and really bring to the attention of the Muslims that please be aware of halal wherever you go. Many years ago, just as an example, many years ago I went with somebody to China, and we didn't go together, but we met up in China, Muslim guy, we met up in China, we went, and it was lunchtime I think, and our host took us for meals. We got to the restaurant and he started eating chicken. And I said, but it's not halal, we're not allowed to eat this chicken. He says, no, but chicken you can eat, it's fine. You just say bismillah, chicken you can eat. Mutton and beef you can't eat. Now people have this misconception of halal, and it's strange, you'd find these things happen. So that is why we bring the awareness, and in your case also, bring the awareness that let's not be complacent about halal. Let us be strict about our halal also. So I would like to say JazakAllah for joining us, and I really appreciate you talking to us, Jay.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to say, you know, don't be shy, because the things are available now, so you just have to ask.
Exactly, and what I find in many hotels, when you go there for breakfast and you tell them that I'm Muslim, I would like to have eggs, but please can you either allow me to wash the pan out, or if you have a new pan, can you please use it? I've seen it 9 out of 10, they will not refuse.
Absolutely, yes.
Because they realize, they know that it has to happen. You can't change that. You are a guest of the hotel, and they would do that. So ask for it. Don't be shy. Like you say, don't be shy. Ask for it, and you will get it, inshallah.
Yeah, inshallah.
JazakAllah. Thank you very much for joining us. You all the way out from Singapore on this afternoon of yours, taking time, talking to us, but also talking to us on this subject. Allah will reward you for that, inshallah. Because for what you're doing, I think, you know what, it's great in the eyes of Allah, that what you're doing just to help people with halal makes a difference in life. The small things in life which we feel is insignificant, Allah watches, and Allah will reward you for that, inshallah.
Ameen.
JazakAllah, brother Faisal. Inshallah, if there's some other time that we need to talk to you, we will contact you. There's some other questions. But if there's anybody that would like to know anything, I will pass all your details on to them. I'll pass on the website also, so they can follow that up. Wherever they're traveling around the world also, they can click on your website and also follow up as far as food and all that is concerned. I really appreciate you joining us on this lovely Sunday morning.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. There's brother Faisal Bahajin, and his website is called Crescent Rating. That's www.crescentrating.com. That's CrescentRating, crescentrating.com. Very, very, very informative. You can click on there, check it out. Very informative information of around the world, and inshallah it will help you somewhere along the line. When you just keep it with you, like he said, he's got apps also. Download the apps, and inshallah that will also help you. Let us see if we can help anyone around the world. My SMS line 072-786-5520. If there's any questions you'd like to ask, that Malaysia trip is still on, I think, on the 10th of December with the Embassy of Malaysia. From the 10th of December up to about the 20th or 21st of December, there's a group going. I did the trip last year. Extremely beautiful trip. You will enjoy it. So if you are interested, let me know. I will give you the details on 072-786-5520. I'll pass on the details to you, and you can then take it on from there, inshallah. From myself, Muhammad Lambat, until next week, same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.